Ancient Texts, The Genealogy of Energy, is a conversation by Julie Benetti and Susan Barbro and is a production of EI Alliance, copyright 2021. Here's the deal, Susan. You know stuff is gonna occur.
Do you have that on?
So why do you have to worry about it?
I don't know.
Stuff is because even James Allen said thought can't be kept secret. It crystallizes into habit, and habit solidifies into circumstance. I mean, we talked about this a long time ago. So
yeah.
we're kind of still fleshing out, you know, because this is prime time. We're all of us, everybody out there in podcast listener land, all of us are structured in this massive chaos that's going on. How exciting we are. We're like in, you know, General Hospital DEFCON 5. You know, all this stuff is going on. None of the storylines make sense. We're reading the magazines to find out who dies, who lives, who's the villain, you know, who's on vacation so we're not going to see him anymore. They're kidnapped. And here we are. We're the ones making the story. And so when James Allen says thought can't be kept secret, it crystallizes into habit. I mean, how interesting is that? Because doesn't that make you not want to think at all?
Well, I was going to say, that comes down to when people, like, you can read my thoughts and you're like, la, 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 la.
Exactly. And so, you know, where do you want to move from that, and how does that move? And we looked at James Allen, you know, immensely when we talked about As a Man Thinketh.
And can I just go off on a little tangent? Are you recording this?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, can I go off on a little tangent?
Yes.
Okay, so you and I have done a lot of work with a lot of things, and I have to honestly say that I don't think I have ever felt so strong a presence as James Allen, with everything else that we've looked at and read and did everything else. When we work on his stuff, there is his presence. I don't know if you feel the same way. I can feel it so strongly here. No, that's not the pumpkin. I'll get it.
I actually love that, because that's an instance where someone else corroborates the fact that somebody, some other presence is here. They can feel it, meaning you. And I just like find it really fun to say it's him. He's here.
Of course,
and the minute you bring him up, he shows up.
Yes. Yeah.
And whether you're smelling the tobacco, or you see, what was he, a top hat? That was someone else,
yeah.
Maybe.
No,
or
that, yeah.
We're in a different location now.
Yes.
And, you know, all that stuff you sense, there's something immense to his presence. And when he's talking about thoughts, it's so funny because we're talking about what he shared, and yet these were his thoughts. And so now we're exploring the thoughts.
Yes.
And there's a complete and real intense energy to that.
I just find that of all the different people that we have read, all the stuff mm-hmm. that we've gone through, for some reason, the minute we open to him, it's like he's right there. It's almost like, don't get him wrong! Don't you use my words without my okay!
And you know what's funny? I mean, we've talked about Lao Tzu, and we've talked about Neville Goddard, and we talked about Napoleon Hill, and we've talked about Dorothea Brand, and who else have we talked about? I mean, just immense amount, you know, the three initiates, and it's never felt as intensely,
no.
as you just said,
right.
where there's another presence here.
Right.
And there's something really cool to that, because, you know, people go through their psychic little, you know, their occult and their psychic, you know, mediumistic kind of, what are your table readings and stuff like that. And yet here we are just reading his book.
Yeah.
And discussing it. And now we're even just discussing the notes about the book that we read, of the discussion that we created in the podcast.
So you get to go home with your husband. I'm stuck by myself, like, okay.
Yeah, but
great,
all I,
thanks.
But all I have to say is it's James Allen. Come on.
Well,
I mean,
we don't know enough about. love Mr. James Allen.
This is where I want to take that Endra line. Are you scared? Are you frightened?
Are you fearful?
Are you fearful?
That's so funny.
And so, you know, this is like so brilliant because, you know, it's true that your thoughts can't be kept secret. They really can't, because you can't actually take your thoughts and write them in a, because the minute you write them in a notebook, you write them in a journal, they're not secret. The minute you give any life to your thoughts, they're not secret.
Well, and how do you give life to your thoughts?
Right, the minute you entertain your thoughts, they're not secret. The minute you go on and on and on and on and on and on and think about them and go, okay, if this happened, this happened, if this happened, this happened, they're not secret. And he goes even further to say that they crystallize into habit. I mean, that's almost scary. That's almost like kind of like a sci-fi movie where all of a sudden you're like, ah, this crystallization happens around you and you're going through these motions based in these thoughts that you just thought randomly, I'll have just thought this thought and I'll focus on it a little bit and maybe I can figure it out. And yet, oh my God, it's already created a habit. And then for the habit to solidify into a circumstance, that's pretty wild. I mean, because then something occurs because of it.
And so someone could sit there and say, oh, I don't like that. And, well, it's not a choice. It's like saying, oh, you have to breathe to live. Oh, I don't think I like that. Nice, but... well, we're not sure that that's going to work here.
Well, the really funny thing about that, too, is, like, it's not about liking or not liking. It's not about any of that. I mean, basically, you know, it's like we were talking about before when we were throwing out meditation. You have a thought, and it's there, and then you kind of peruse it, and you entertain it, and you take it out to dinner, and you buy it drinks, and you have hors d'oeuvres, and you have entrees, and you have more drinks, and that's what you're doing with your thoughts. You're doing all this stuff with your thoughts. And really, are they your best friends?
Really, you think?
Yeah. Huh.
That was a joke.
Really, you think? Bada-bing! Bada-bing, that was a pun, yeah, bada-bing.
Oh, man, you have to explain it, it's lost. It lost.
I'm not sure about that one. So, you know, habit is interesting because we all do stuff out of habit. We're creatures of habit.
Yes, we are.
And so when he says that our thoughts crystallize into habit, I mean, just think about it. A kiln. I almost said an urn. If you have a kiln and you're creating a vase, and you're here, you are. You're forming it. And you're creating it, and you have the clay, and it's spinning around, and you're blah blah blah, and it's go. Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful, and you're developing this physical object. I mean, it's the same thing you do with thoughts. Just think about that. You go on and you peruse and you're developing your thoughts and you're thinking
and
about them from all different angles.
I used to make those little vases and those kilns and they always cracked. They always looked like crap. Whenever I made them, they never came out good. I always was one of those. The teacher said, oh, so that was a nice try. So, what are you saying? You know, I never had that ability to make it. I always looked at Sarah when they pull them all out and, like, oh, that's beautiful, it's beautiful. You get mine, and you always expect it to look like someone else's.
Well, is that because you had thoughts? I mean, you just said you had expectations. Were you thinking too much about it? Maybe your thoughts destroyed your vase.
No, I think I just make the joke that you go to that example and I'm like, oh, that's the example she's gonna use. Oh.
So your thoughts can't be kept secret.
Of course not. That's the scary thing. You know how many people are like, oh, if they could read my mind, I'd be in so much trouble. Well, truth is, there, Chucky.
Well, you
we can read it.
And you know what's funny about that?
Right.
And this it's truth, the truth, Chucky. So we can read it.
But not only that, but we can tell because you're freaking doing that goddamn habit we can't stand, and your thoughts have crystallized into it.
Yep.
Yipper.
Hey, wait a minute. That's a podcast, I think.
Your presence is required.
So, for anyone out there who's wondering, we've had a nice meal, had a couple drinks, and the truth of the matter is that we're going to say whatever the hell we want.
And this is and when you, know, you want to listen in.
And, yeah. And so, yeah, there you go. Just like that. And just like that, the meal's over.
So, you know, if this is a thought-fulfilled universe,
oh,
I mean, what the hell are we doing to ourselves? And your thoughts really can't be kept secret. You know, it really is, everybody knows that scene from Ghostbusters when they say, oh my God, the evil entity is going to, no, don't do that, he's thinking, and then he thinks about what, the big cream puff marshmallow guy?
Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yeah, and he becomes like the big villain or whatever, and it's like, don't think about it, and it's funny because, you know, it's stupid to go to Hollywood all the time, yet Hollywood projects. I mean, all those...
You know, I think what's important to understand when you're saying this, what I'm getting, is it's not about Hollywood. I think it's accepting that it might not look exactly the way you thought it was going to be. You know, thinking that, oh, it's going to, you know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to, you know, right now, I'll be honest, my house, I'm trying to sell my house. And, you know, I want to be able to go and travel and do things, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, how am I going to do it? Because the market is, like, dead. And so, who knew? I mean, it's...
This is the best thing of all, because there's your thoughts you're not keeping secret, okay? You can't keep them secret. Yet, how do you know the market is dead? Somebody told you that?
No, I'm...
But how do you know the market is dead? How do you know this huge windfall isn't coming?
I don't. All I'm saying is that I'm open to it being different than what I originally expected to look like.
Okay.
That's the point I'm making. I'm not saying, oh, this is the... I'm saying... Sometimes it could be a situation that, you know, I start renting it because in a year, housing market triples. I get 10 times what I'm asking right now. And I had to wait 6 or 8 months. I mean, it could fall, it could do anything. But right now, it's like I could say, sometimes it looks different than what you expect. Maybe the perfect buyer isn't ready. They're trying to get their stuff together. Any of that's possible. And I think that's a big, huge thing, is that if it doesn't look exactly the way you thought it was going to look, well, then you say, ah, it's not happening. And it's like, no.
So this is funny because I mentioned that I was reading the Deepak Chopra book, and there was some interesting stuff in it, and it was relevant to life after death and exploring that and the burden of proof. And I took out the elements that I liked for what I was interested in. And he talks about complementarity, and it isn't possible to know everything about a quantum event, because he talks earlier about, you know, when the observer looks at it or measures it, whatever that is being observed is limited. And that's what I was kind of saying, because you're limited by whatever is being expressed to you about the market and whatever is being expressed to you about what is occurring. Yet, in fact, you have no idea that that's the complete essence of what is occurring.
So, it was funny because I put my house on the market, and the details aren't really as important as much as me saying that, you know, things were going not the way I thought. And I all I kept hearing is renting. I kept getting information on renting. The first person through my house was an investor. And I'm like, what? How do you make money, you know, on a single family house? And so where I'm going is that, well, okay, so someone else had told me, and I'm like, yeah, maybe I need to investigate this. That to me is a great example of the space between and going in and getting information, like you had talked about, the description you had said about, you know, that we're oscillating, right? And then you go into the other space. And the point that I think is important to make is that just because I want my house sold, maybe it looks different. And if I just stay, like, it has to be this and that's it, then I could have missed out on something even grander.
Right.
And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that you entertain every single thing, but sometimes it gets to a point where it's like, all right, well, let me figure this out. Let me see what I can do. And okay, and maybe, yeah, it didn't look like you thought, but that doesn't mean, you know, that it's you know, you're not getting what you want, and that you're on the wrong trail, or the path is wrong, or, you know, you suck, or God doesn't love you, or whatever you want to say.
But there's always someone standing on the street corner ready to tell you that, right?
Yeah, right.
And if you want to get out of that situation, you know, here you go. I got something to sell you.
That's right. But I think that's something that we do. We sit back and we say, you know, it's not working out. Go, this isn't. And it's like, sometimes it is working out. It just doesn't look the way you think.
And so, when you go into thoughts and you go into thinking, I mean, what a perfect opportunity. You know, this is going to sound insane, but what a perfect opportunity to start thinking differently, whatever that means. What a perfect opportunity. You know, it's funny. I want to say, I mean, the epitome of his quote is, thought can't be kept secret. It crystallizes into habit. Habit solidifies into circumstance. And, you know, it's funny when anybody has... when anybody, even as little kids, and they share, oh, I have a secret, what is it? And when you start to think in that realm of the practicality of thought and the practicality of the secret, not the secret, but this secret, where thought can't be kept secret. I mean, it's funny because the tradition is to, you know, a secret is a secret. And so it was kind of funny. Thought can't be kept secret. And so who can it be kept secret from?
Well, we think, we hope we can keep certain thoughts secret from ourselves.
And yet we ruminate over them nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
And we go over and over and over, and we hash them out, and then we try to project into different possibilities. And it's beautiful because he says... You know, not only can it be kept secret, but then it crystallizes into habit. And there we are, consistently doing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
When we could be, I don't know, taking free walks in the park. But then the habit, I mean, I think this is brilliant. The habit solidifies into circumstance. So something occurs because of all of our attention and effort. And yet all of our intention and effort.
I would say it goes cellular. It becomes part of our heart. And the heart is what we were speaking of earlier. It makes it the way it is. It becomes cellular. It's who we are. We become who we think we are. We think we're beautiful, smart, struggling. Whatever it is that you think, and then we become. That's what we become.
So let me take a different approach. So if you could keep your thoughts secret from yourself, what else would you be doing?
What do you mean?
So you're now pondering a certain different, you know, variations to what could possibly occur. Yet in actuality, all and or none of them could occur. Or all and or none or one of them could occur, or two of them, or three of them. And so, and that coffee smells delicious. So what I mean is that, you know, who are we keeping? Thoughts can't be kept secret. We can't. I think that the enormous affectation they have upon us can't be kept secret. That's what can't be kept secret.
The enormous
effect that they have on us.
Well, and then of course it manifests out out for in public for everyone else to see.
Right, right. Well, there's the habit.
Poor, I believe I'm poor. I'm never going to have money. And then, woo, all of a sudden, lo and behold, you see it for yourself, and then everyone else sees it.
Mm. And there you go, habit. And then you create, you actually form that habit, and that's what occurs. So you create based on the thought.
Yeah.
You know, there is some other unexplored essence to thought. And whether you streamline it based in, thank you, whether you streamline it based in science or philosophy or just daily action, I think there's something else.
To thought.
Yeah. I think there's something else
to
thought.
To me, that creates the whole existence.
I can sit down and I can, you know, tomorrow I'm going to get $100. And I could think today anything I want that, oh my God, I'm rich, I'm going to get $100, or I'm poor, what am I going to do? It doesn't change the fact that I'm going to get $100. What I think becomes my focus. Right. And then if I get $100, and then if I get $1,000, each time I could say, oh yeah, but I still... Because you're really never going to be the richest person. You're never going to be the poorest person. You're not going to be the prettiest person. There's always going to be someone who is more of whatever it is that you think you want. So are you going to sit there and say, wow, look at all this money I have? Or are you going to say, well, compared to so-and-so, I have nothing.
Right.
It's all in your perspective in that regard.
And so in actuality, we create the projection and then
we
participate in it,
yeah.
And then the projection creates meaning, and then we assign value to it, and then
it just gets more solidified,
right? And then it's like a snowball,
yes.
You know, going down a mountain, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it topples us over.
I used to say to some of my patients, if they had depression, I'd say, if you feel a certain way, you feel it. But don't snowball. If you can at least stop that piece of it, you're 99% there, because you can feel whatever, but you create, as you just said, the snowball effect,
right.
And it gets bigger, and then it's something that's, oh my gosh, whereas you just felt a certain way. If you allowed yourself, that's when I say you have your reaction. I feel this way. Okay. Doesn't mean I'm going to live with it. It's just, this is a feeling right now, and it will pass, and I'm not holding on to it. I'm not judging it. It's just, I feel that way, and then I'm going to let it pass. As opposed to, you know, people say, oh, don't feel it. No, don't feel it. I won't feel it. Oh, shit, I feel it times 100.
So I think, too, you know, in the aspect of thoughts, like other people were so volatile in that space that other people naturally kind of enter in and go, here, let me help you with this. And it's like, no, I don't need any help with this. Like, oh, I'm working on this myself. Yeah, that is a really bad situation. Yeah, you really do need help. Yeah, I don't know what you're going to do. Yeah, it's like, how does that help?
And I think that when you're struggling with something, the truth is that even someone who's well-intentioned, the old adage really applies. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to say. Julie's laughing because I've got sauce on my shirt. I'm over here cooking and then cleaning, and I get sauce on my shirt.
That's like, I can't help it because you were cleaning so noisily, and I'm looking at the recorder going, okay, this is going to sound like we're on a train.
Well, we're in the kitchen.
No,
you're in the kitchen. That's what we're sharing.
We're doing work. We're in the kitchen, and we're doing work. Yeah, there we go. Well, I just love that how he says it and he brings it to the forefront, and I am kind of flirting with him right now because we know he's present, James Allen.
Oh.
But where he says, you know, that thoughts can't be kept secret, you know, like crystallize into habit and habit solidifies into circumstance. I mean, what a beautiful way of putting it. And I mean, does that help us to be more aware, and that what we're actually doing, and do we want to do this to someone else? Do we want to do this to ourselves? Or do we just want to, like you say, you know, have a thought, experience it, and move on?
I think that at the end of the day, the most important question is, do we want to play with those thoughts? regardless if it's, I think that about someone else or thinking about me. Mm. You think it about somebody else, you're yeah. obviously avoiding looking at that for yourself.
Mm.
So if you're going to have those thoughts for you or for someone else, you're going to deal with the thoughts. Mm. And that's where gossip and all this other stuff comes in, because, you know, if you're going to gossip, so so-and-so, they don't know how to do this. Well, who, as compared to whom? As compared to yourself. So you're, right. you're always throwing yourself in that.
Right.
So if you're going to entertain that thought in any degree, you've already lost.
And also where we say, where we try to think, you know, what other people are thinking, or, you know, how their, you know, structured lives are, or how, where they're coming from. And sometimes that doesn't behoove you in the space of, and this, this, it doesn't behoove you in the space of kind of moving ahead, because it's been said that, you know, thinking organizes reality in order to make sense. And in that case, where if thinking really is organizing reality, what kind of reality do we want to create?
So there you go.
Thank you for subscribing and listening to this production from EI Alliance. Check out our Amazon Authors pages and Google Play Books for our books and ebooks, and our fan link for podcasts available everywhere. Find music from the Free Rock Trio and New Threads everywhere too.